fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
If you still draft quarterbacks in round one, we're here to help.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Monday, July 18th. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. Adam and Heath on the podcast this afternoon. Send us your emails. You just heard the email address. Again, it's fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Be reading a few of those today. And Heath, I'd love to argue with you about someone on today's show. I don't know if it's going to happen. I feel like we're going to be agreeing on, or maybe Vincent Jackson. Maybe we'll argue about Vincent Jackson.
I am sure that we can find things to argue about. If not, we'll just manifest things.
Sure, that's what we did. We just fake it.
Sure.
For the good of the show. We don't really like to do that too much. But anyway, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. I think the plan is going to be 3 or 4 episodes this week. We'll take the day off tomorrow. Dave and Jamie will be back on Wednesday. We'll have a podcast for you, most likely Wednesday. If not Wednesday, definitely Thursday and Friday. But I think maybe it's going to be like a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, something like that. Maybe 4. And then I'm hoping to go 5 days a week starting next week. So everybody be excited about that. We got to kick it into gear as training camp rolls around. Preseason on August 7th, the Hall of Fame game. Man, it creeps up on you, huh?
Yes, it's well, that's what, like, the Steelers' first preseason game is not that game, but I think it's August 12th, maybe.
Yeah. Why do you like? Why the Steelers? Why are you singling them?
I'm going to be at that game. I'm going to the Steelers.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
That's great. How many NFL stadiums have you been to?
One.
That's it, huh?
Well, I'm trying to think. Like, I've only been to one NFL stadium for an NFL game. I don't know if I've been for a concert ever. I don't think so.
Yeah, I want to make fun of you, but I feel like I've been to 3. Maybe
I've definitely been to a lot more baseball stadiums than NFL stadiums.
Pittsburgh looks pretty cool. I went to Gillette a couple of years ago for a preseason game.
Yeah.
That was really awesome. That was great. Great time at Gillette. Obviously, I've been to Dolphin Stadium. I have not been to the new MetLife Stadium. I went to the old Giants Stadium. And I don't know. Been to the Rose Bowl. They've played some NFL games there. Does that count?
Sure. Okay, now, I do think that'll be an interesting game. That's the first game against the Lions. And we don't get to see very much during the game itself. But I'll be interested to see if we can figure anything out about the Lions' backfield situation or even their wide receivers. I'm not 100% certain we have a good grasp on the share of targets between Golden Tate and Marvin Jones.
Well, I don't think we'll know after one preseason game, but hey, it'll give us something to talk about.
We may have somebody to talk to, though, to figure it out.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice. So today on the show, we started Heath's potentially over-the-hill list last week. We'll finish it today with Carson Palmer, Drew Brees, Vincent Jackson, and Antonio Gates. Antonio Gates had a 4-game suspension to start the season, still finished as a top 12 tight end last year. Can he do it again? We'll read some emails, talk about Arian Foster, some running back by committees, things like that. Let's start with our email of the day. Number one is from Scott from the home of the Irish. He's got an interesting question. Scott says, I've done well in PPR my first 2 years in fantasy football. I've made the playoffs both years. I was the favorite last year until Dalton went down. I've been terrible in my standard scoring league. Can you offer any suggestions on how to change my approach as I change between leagues?
Well, I wonder, like, my first thought would be, are you changing your approach too much as it is? Maybe your approach to standard should be more like PPR. Because I do think that's one area where people maybe undervalue pass-catching backs a little bit in standard leagues because they're so used to bumping them up in PPR leagues. Mm-hmm. If you're not making any changes at all, then you probably need to focus more in your standard league on guys that you think are going to score touchdowns.
Yeah, well, okay, just some obvious stuff here. Maybe it's not so obvious, but you mentioned, this was Scott saying, Andy Dalton was his quarterback in a PPR league. Well, you don't have to. We certainly don't say that you have to. In fact, we say that you don't have to, but quarterbacks are more valuable in standard, so maybe you want to invest a little bit more heavily in a quarterback. They're more valuable because really, they're just less valuable in PPR. Everybody's catching passes except for them. So that's one thing. And I think in a PPR league, I am pretty unlikely to have my flex be a running back. In a standard league, I don't really care. It could be a running back or a wide receiver.
Yeah, I still think most of the time in a standard league, you're going to be better off with a wide receiver as your flex, but not always.
Yeah, but I pretty much eliminate that possibility in PPR leagues. I'd have to have great running backs. Wouldn't you agree? It's flex in a PPR?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends, because if you look at the last couple of years, you could have drafted Danny Woodhead as your flex, and he would have been a pretty good flex.
Some weeks, yeah. In PPR, no. In PPR, right. You're right.
Yeah, in PPR for sure. I like Giovanni Bernard.
This year,
that's gonna be a pretty good flex.
This year, you can't draft them as flexes, most likely.
I wouldn't think so. I don't know. I mean, I've seen some situations where I don't know that either one of them are being drafted in the top 25 running backs.
And even in PPR,
I have not seen the PPR ADP for the weekend, so I would guess there's been some pretty significant changes. Probably a lot of drafts this weekend.
Well, 750 analysts and I did a draft the other day. You weren't invited to that? You didn't hear about that one?
Yeah, I heard about it. I turned it down. I sent them your information, said you should ask Adam.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
No problem.
No, we didn't. In fact, I don't know 750 analysts. I don't even know if I know 750 people. But all right, so listen, Scott. Quarterback more valuable in standard. You might want to prioritize running back a little bit more, and understand the different the players that have different values. I mean, it's obvious, but some guys catch a lot of passes, like Jarvis Landry, much better in PPR. Danny Woodhead, understand that. You'll do better in standard. And it might just be bad luck, let's be honest. Email of the day number two is from Chris Dan. Now, he had a big question. I'm not going to read the question. I wanted to give a shout-out to Chris because he included some videos in his email of, I don't know, maybe the most clever thing I've seen of choosing your draft order. So one year, he and all his friends got together, and they get somebody to do video of it, and they do a really good job production-wise, and they put it on YouTube. They did a punt, pass, and kick contest to determine draft order. I don't know all the specifics. I'm guessing whoever did worst picked last, or whoever did best maybe got their choice of pick, whatever it was. But first, one year, they did a punt, pass, and kick contest. One year they did like a hybrid slip and slide, drinking game. Like you had to go through the slip and slide and then get up and chug or something like that. It was really cool. And they did some great videos. I've never done anything clever to determine draft order, but I totally want to now.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And I think, like the more different little things, you made fun of me when I told you that our league had an award ceremony.
I did.
For almost an entire podcast. But I think the more, like, unique things that you can do with your fantasy league, the better.
Yeah. I think the thing you gotta have or hope to have is a lot of local, is most, if not everybody, be local. And I'm not in any leagues like that, unfortunately.
Because you don't have any actual friends, just internet friends?
I have internet friends. Oh, you mean I don't have actual friends? I have a few actual friends.
I mean, yeah, I could suggest some ways for you to meet some people.
How?
Step
what would you suggest?
One is go outside.
You're not going to have
to actually leave your apartment.
I don't really want to do that, though. The sun's bad for you. I don't know. I'm cool. I'm cool staying in. Okay. All right, let's talk football here. You've got a column up about touchdown regression. We're not going to talk too much about that today, but what's your biggest takeaway as you studied touchdown regression? Regression, by the way, is something I learned fairly recently. You can regress up. You don't have to necessarily regress down, but it's just kind of getting back to where you normally are. But
People sometimes will say positive regression just so that they don't get angry comments in the comments section about how what regression really means.
Okay, that's a
good
idea.
I didn't do that in this one, and this was all about regression losers. And the point I want to make is just because somebody scored a lot of touchdowns last year doesn't mean that I think, A, they will score a lot of touchdowns, or B, they're going to be bad this year because they did. But there are certain players that get drafted too highly because of unrealistic touchdown expectations because of 2015. And so I think that if you can avoid those guys, it's not like I don't want to draft them. It's just I don't want to draft them where they're being drafted because there's no way they're going to produce like they did last year.
Who was one guy?
I mean, the obvious candidate's Blake Bortles. I think you knew that he was going to be at the top of the quarterback list. But even a guy like Devontae Freeman or Doug Baldwin,
yeah,
both of those guys scored almost all of their production in like a 6-week span. You look at Devontae Freeman, we say, yeah, he was good in the second half because he scored touchdowns. He still just scored 4 touchdowns with a ton of work. I think he's probably more like an 8-touchdown guy this year, maybe 9, which is why I have him ranked at the end of the second round, when a lot of times he's going late first, early second.
All right, so we are going to argue about someone. It's not necessarily Devontae Freeman. It's Blake Bortles, and I've already argued with you about him before, but I will continue to say this. I feel like the people who say he can't do this because there's touchdown regression and they're going to be throwing less because their defense is going to be better.
I never said that.
Okay, good. Because I do think that's a bit of a leap of faith.
Right. Like, let's just say for a second, because there's maybe a 30% chance that they are actually good at running the ball this year. And so he throws for less touchdowns because of that.
I think they'll be better running.
And there's a 30% chance maybe that their defense is better and they're not from behind as much.
And
but
I
it's
do
not
think,
likely.
And I do think he'll throw fewer touchdowns because Bortles threw what, like 35 last year?
35. I think he was second in the NFL in touchdowns.
I could still see him throwing 30 though. And I guess here's my big argument. All the math you can do, all the reasoning you can do, everything that you say is going to be a good point. I just don't want you to forget about one thing. He is a third-year quarterback who was the number 3 overall pick in the draft, and he is getting better. And if he becomes a really good football player this year, he's going to have a really good football season and a fantasy season that relates to that, and it won't matter about the touchdown regression or the running of the football or anything. He's just going to be an awesome player.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be an awesome player. I don't know how much better he actually got last year.
I think he got a lot better.
His completion percentage actually went down.
I know. The stats aren't great. He throws a lot of interceptions, but so does Andrew Luck.
A lot of interceptions, not that great of yards per attempt, low completion percentage. Maybe it's possible that he takes a leap. Just know that if he's the same guy he was last year, he's going to be a massive disappointment in fantasy because he's not going to throw the same number of touchdowns with that type of production.
He has to improve.
He has to improve just to validate where he's being drafted.
The question is, how will he do after Gus Bradley gets fired after like week 4 whenever they play their London game?
But they're going to be better, Adam. Didn't you hear? Their defense is going to be good. They're going to run the ball.
I'm not necessarily buying it. I know they invested a lot. But they are playing the Colts. Like their schedule, they got Green Bay in week 1 at home. I think they'll lose. San Diego, it's never easy to go across the country.
I think they'll win that though.
I don't know. Across the country? That's a tough one. But let's say they split at San Diego and home against Baltimore, and then they lose to the Colts probably in London. I think they're 1-3. I think Gus Bradley gets fired coming into their week 5 bye. That's my...
London's like their second home, though. That should be like the home field advantage for them.
Are they... Oh, yeah? The home field advantage? Well, anyway, let's talk news and notes here. My random Jaguars prediction. Arian Foster is going to work out for the Dolphins and the Lions this week. Might get an offer from the Dolphins. They seem quite interested. How interested are you in Arian Foster?
I'm interested in knowing where he's going to be so that we can reflect that in the average draft position of the other running backs on that team. You have to be really skeptical. Same thing as with Steve Smith. Coming off of that type of injury at his age, whether he's actually going to be able to hold up to a full season. I do think Foster's relevant. I don't think it's very likely that he's even a top 30 running back. He's just going to hurt the value of the guys wherever he goes.
Yes.
And then maybe give you a nice 4 or 5 week spurt.
If he goes to Miami, I feel like he hurts Kenyon Drake more than Jay Ajayi, because if I'm confident in Foster to do anything at this point, it's catch passes.
Yeah, I just think if you love Jay Ajayi, you're not bringing in Arian Foster.
Well,
he's going to share work.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not, but that's the way I would downgrade Ajayi pretty seriously if Foster comes in.
You would? All right, good. Well, that's interesting. Good. So let's see what happens and we'll be able to react to it if he gets a contract. So looking at some reports, Chicago Tribune writer Rich Campbell says the Bears are going running back by committee. We've heard that before. Also, the beat writers are doing some speculation right now. It doesn't mean it's going to be true, but they know better than anyone. Florida Times Union writer Ryan O'Halloran, he expects Chris Ivory to get 55% of the carries, TJ Yeldon 45%, and that they could just ride the hot hand in Jacksonville. And according to the New Orleans Times Advocate, Tim Hightower, the favorite to be Mark Ingram's backup. Not a surprise, but good to see. Hightower, by the way, I mean, he's an important player because Ingram gets hurt every year. But do you have any reaction to the Bears-Jaguars situations?
The Bears situation makes sense to me because I think there's a pretty decent chance that Jordan Howard is better than Jeremy Langford. I definitely think there are certain things, most notably short yardage situations, that Howard should do better than Langford. Langford's a guy that when I first just started looking at what happened last year, I had him ranked quite a bit higher than I do at this point. He's been falling just because I realize more and more I'm not sure he's any good.
So you're basing that on the yards per carry?
And just when you watch the way that he ran last year, I'm not sure. Now, I do think he'd be a little better in the passing game than he was. As far as the Jacksonville situation, that sounds about right to me. I think the important thing to realize is if Ivory's getting 55% of the carries and Yeldon's getting 45, Yeldon's going to be more valuable than Ivory.
You think so?
Because I think he's probably going to get more like 80% of the catches.
Ivory really showed himself to be a pretty good player last year. And
I don't think Ivory's bad. I don't think this is a bad situation. I think you have two running backs here that probably are not very likely to hold up to a full season's worth of 250 carries. And so I think as a team, it makes sense to split it up. Maybe you keep Yeldon fresher a little longer, but I think Yeldon's going to be better in the passing game.
It's the most annoying situation right now. It's ridiculous because I think if you had this offense looks like it's going to be really good. And, you know, whether it doesn't matter what you expect from Blake Bortles. They've got a lot of talent on this offense, I think. And at least you expect Bortles to be competent. But I think if you had a feature back in that offense, you're looking at a guy who's going to be pretty valuable in fantasy. So I'm hoping one of them takes control of this role.
Yeah, I don't think that's very likely at all. What I'm hoping for is that their average draft position starts to fall because I think they could be a good value if drafted in the right spot. Where they're being drafted right now, I don't think I'd take either one of them.
Well, let's take a look at where they're being drafted right now. We're talking about the Jaguars running backs. Looking at Fantasy Pros average draft position, Chris Ivory is going. He's the 27th running back off the board.
No chance.
That's too high for you?
Yeah, I'm not taking in my top 30 running backs.
He's going right ahead of Amir Abdullah and Giovanni Bernard.
No way.
T.J. Yeldon is the 32nd running back off the board, ahead of Justin Forsett, Danny Woodhead, and Rashad Jennings. I'm not sure. Is this a mix of PPR and standard, or is it PPR?
This is standard.
Standard? Okay. Oh, they have PPR. We can look at PPR as well. I'll look at PPR right now. Chris Ivory is the 34th running back off the board. T.J. Yeldon is 32nd. So Yeldon going 32nd in both PPR and standard, but he's going ahead of Ivory in points per reception.
I think that makes sense. I think Yeldon will definitely be more valuable in PPR, could possibly be more valuable in standard, but the problem is I would expect Ivory to score the bulk of the touchdowns there.
Now we know the way fantasy football works. Guys come out of nowhere, and when we look at the Chicago situation, Kadeem Carey does not get mentioned. He's just an afterthought for you?
Yeah, I've not seen anything from Kadeem Carey that makes me think that he's very good.
Well, you know how I feel about that. We haven't seen anything that makes me think he's very bad.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's only 79 carries, but the fact that I'm not extremely impressed with Jeremy Langford's talent, and the Bears like him more than they like Carey.
You know what the good thing is, Heath?
Yes.
We got training camp and preseason to let all of this sort out. It's fun to speculate right now, but we'll know a lot more by the time the season rolls around.
I expect Carey to be third in line for touches in Chicago.
All right, let's take a look at more news and notes before you're over the hill segment here. Nelson Aguilar will not be charged with sexual assault. Carlos Williams, did we talk about him getting suspended for 4 games? We talked about him being overweight, but now he's suspended.
Right, not good.
The Bills have reportedly reached out to Reggie Bush. And you hate kickers. You want them banned from fantasy. The NFL is considering narrowing the uprights, perhaps as early as the 2017 season. If they did that, would that make you more interested in kickers on your fantasy team?
I would like it if they narrowed them all the way to where they were just one post, so no one would ever try to kick it in between them, and they just played without kickers.
Well, I do think the field goal is getting a little bit too ordinary and easy. So I would like to see them do this, actually. I think this would be a pretty solid rule change.
I don't really care. I don't like that part of fantasy football. It would probably add a degree of skill to the position.
Yeah, of course it would.
And maybe it would discourage coaches from kicking as often as they do.
What if you made the uprights like a triangle or something?
And a triangle.
Yeah. And that you had that would make it really fun. They had to kick it at the triangle. You know, field goals that ordinarily were good are outside.
How about
the
triangle, but then like a triangle that's like a tenth of the size of the big triangle, and you get a choice to kick it between the big triangle or throw it in the small triangle?
Is it worth more points if you get it in the small triangle?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be great, man. You got a small triangle within a big triangle, and if it gets in the small triangle...
Can we light the small triangle on fire?
I don't see why not. Or I was just thinking Christmas lights, the ones that kind of flash.
Yes, you know? That would be outstanding.
We got something here, Heath.
We are making something. Field goals fun.
Is Carson Palmer over the hill? Is he getting up there? Well, he's getting up there in age, but is he too old? He's 36 years old. Palmer's entering his 14th season. He was the number 5 quarterback in fantasy last year with the 13 most pass attempts in the NFL. In fact, I was surprised to see 3 years under Bruce Arians. The Cardinals do not throw the ball nearly as much as I thought. They're middle of the pack every single year. But Carson Palmer had a great year. I suppose you could put him in the touchdown regression category. He also threw 35 touchdown passes last year. What's your take on Carson Palmer, Heath?
I feel a little bit better about a quarterback throwing 35 touchdowns when they complete 64% of their passes for almost 8.7 yards per attempt, because then that quarterback is good. So it makes more sense to me that they would throw more touchdown passes.
Yes.
All jokes aside, there's probably not a player on this list that I'm more conflicted about than Carson Palmer.
Really?
Because I really like him. He was outstanding last year. He has arguably the best wide receiving core in the NFL in terms of depth. His number one is not one of the top 10, but he's got 3 of the top 25, I think. Everything looks good for Carson Palmer. Here's what scares me. I mean, first off, you've got a guy that's had injury problems in the past. You've got a guy that just had not just a great year, but the best year of his career at age 34. I don't know how likely it is that he repeats that this year. So I'm conflicted on Palmer. I've still got him ranked ahead of Big Ben. I'd be pretty happy taking him later in the draft. The one thing I would say about Palmer is we know that there are leagues out there still where quarterbacks are going in the first and second round, lots of them. And then there are leagues where we've been trying to push people where the quarterbacks fall back to 6th, 7th, 8th round for the top 5 quarterbacks. I'd feel much better taking Palmer in one of those more QB sensible drafts, I guess, than I would taking him in a league where I felt like I had to take a quarterback in the first few rounds.
I don't really know why Ben Roethlisberger is going ahead of Carson Palmer.
Yeah, that's a fair question. Without Martavis Bryant, especially.
Right. If he had Martavis Bryant, I think I would understand it more. But, you know, look, it's pretty similar situations. Two very good offenses. You got a pass-catching running back. You've got David Johnson can catch passes. So can Andre Ellington. Le'Veon Bell's obviously amazing at it. Yeah, so I see similarities there, but I don't think you can say Carson Palmer is more injury-prone than Ben Roethlisberger. And
no, you can't.
Yeah, looking at Fantasy Pros, Roethlisberger's going 5th, Palmer's going 7th, with Breeze going 6th. And overall, you're talking about a 2-round difference almost. A round and a half difference between Roethlisberger and Palmer.
I would rather have Palmer than Roethlisberger. I think they've got a lot of the same issues. And the other thing is, like, if one of Carson Palmer's wide receivers gets hurt, he's fine. He's still got John Brown and Michael Floyd, or Larry Fitzgerald and John Brown, or whatever. Mm-hmm. If Antonio Brown goes down, Ben is in trouble.
Yeah. I like Carson Palmer quite a bit. I found in our drafts he's falling a lot further than he should. And yeah, it was interesting to see that he had his best season ever. Touchdowns, interceptions were outstanding, and he was 35, and they don't throw that much. But I also feel like this is one of those guys where the previous stats don't really matter that much. The fact that he's just playing for the Cardinals, their offense is exploding right now. They're loaded. Right. They've got a really good head coach. Things are set up for him. So I think we agree on that, right?
Yep, we're on the same page.
Yeah, I knew we weren't going to argue about Carson Palmer. Drew Brees. So Palmer's 36. Brees is 37. He's entering his 16th season. And after three straight years as a top two quarterback in fantasy in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues, Breeze has been number five and number six in his past two seasons. Eight straight seasons with 32 or more touchdowns. Absolutely unbelievable. What do you think about Breeze? Do you think the end is near for Drew Breeze?
This is the difficult part. The end is near. Like, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And in the next 2 or 3 years, things are going to fall apart for Drew Brees. Unless we're just going to see unprecedented health for quarterbacks going over 40. So there is some heightened risk by his age. There is a chance he takes that one hit and he's just done. But I don't see anything that would tell me he's going to be worse than he was last year. I think his weapons this year should be better than they were last year. Kobe Flehner, in my opinion, is an upgrade at tight end. I think Michael Thomas is an upgrade over what Marcus Colston was. So the interesting thing will be, what does his volume do? Because he'd thrown 650 or more passes every year for five straight years and 670 in one of those. And last year it was down to 627. I don't know if
that's he still threw the second most pass attempts per game though.
Right.
Behind Andrew Luck.
I think it would make sense if I was the Saints to want to throw the ball a little bit less, but that doesn't seem to be their MO.
One thing has really changed for the Saints over the last 2 years, and I think it's a big reason why Breeze is no longer a top two quarterback. They have increased their rushing touchdowns. I think they've changed their red zone, maybe more specifically their goal line philosophy.
Well, that happened right when they lost Jimmy Graham, right?
But it's been 2 years though. Not just last year. So two straight years, the Saints have been like top six in rushing touchdowns, which is a departure from what we saw in the past. Mark Ingram's been a really good, really reliable running back for them, and good in the red zone and good at the goal line. So I just think the touchdowns are down a little bit. Also, we saw some crazy home road splits last year for Drew Brees. He had barely any success on the road, and he was amazing at home. I don't know if you can predict that to happen again, because 2 years ago we saw the same thing. A lot of great home success, not so much on the road. And then in 2000, or I guess that was 3 years ago. That was 2013.
Right.
2014, the splits were basically the same. So it might just be kind of random.
I'm very comfortable with where, if people were drafting Drew Brees to be a top three quarterback, I probably would say that's too much risk for me at his age. But I think he's going sixth off the board, which is right where I have him. I'm very comfortable with Brees. I think he should be a top five quarterback as long as he stays healthy.
See, this is where touchdown regression can really help you, because Drew Brees was throwing 311 yards per game in his first six games, but he only had one game with 20 fantasy points or more last season. And everybody, people, what's going on with Drew Brees? What's wrong with Drew Brees? His offensive line stinks, turning the ball over too much. He only had eight touchdowns in the first six games. Then he had a seven touchdown game against the Giants and regressed quite a bit in one game. But then still, last eight games of the year, Brees had 312 yards per game, which was the same as he had in the first six games, but 17 touchdowns in eight games, five interceptions. So he got back to his norms. And nobody's valuing him as a top two quarterback, right? It's around fifth.
No, doesn't seem like it at all.
Fifth or sixth, so. Do you guys basically kind of expect the same kind of production as you got last year from Brees?
Yeah, I think it could be just, like I said, I like his weapons better. I think if he has 650 passes, he's probably going to be top three or four.
You like Breeze or Palmer?
I've got Palmer. I've gone back and forth on him. I've got Palmer one spot higher.
You got Breeze or Russell Wilson?
Wilson.
Oh, I know you like, so Breeze or Luck, because I know you like Wilson better than Luck.
I've got Luck right in that Luck, Palmer, Breeze all in the same range.
Okay. All right, Vincent Jackson, kind of forgotten about, 33 years old. This is his 12th NFL season. You might want to throw out last year's stats, because he wasn't very healthy, Heath, and he just had a bad year. 33 catches in 10 games, really more like 9 games. He got hurt early in one. Only 63 targets. He averaged about 6 targets per game. Not very good. What are your thoughts on Vincent Jackson going into his 12th season?
He is going into his 12th season, but I think there's so many people out there that really could see Jameis Winston making a big step forward this year.
But not Blake Bortles.
What's that?
But not Blake Bortles. Winston,
well,
yes.
Winston
Bortles
was better than Bortles already.
Well, he was not.
What do you mean he wasn't?
What, based on yards per attempt? If you had a quarterback on your team last year and you said, we're down by 6 points with 2 minutes left. Go win us the game. You're telling me you would have taken Jameis Winston over Blake Bortles?
Does Jameis Winston get to throw to Allen Robinson
and
Allen Hurts?
Yeah, same team, same offense.
Yeah, I think I'd take Winston over Bortles.
Okay, maybe that'll happen this year. I think last year that it, the answer would for me would have been Bortles.
Okay, anyway, there's a lot of people seem to be predicting that Winston's going to take a big step forward, but they act like it's all going to happen with Mike Evans. If Winston makes a leap this year, Vincent Jackson's going to be a huge beneficiary as long as he stays healthy. The other thing is, and I don't really believe that all players are universally better in contract years, but I think certain players might be a little bit more motivated, and I think Vincent Jackson wants one more contract. He's an excellent deep threat for a guy that can throw the deep ball. And the best thing is he's going at wide receiver 51.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, he's going to be a top 40 wide receiver.
Would you rather have Steve Smith or Vincent Jackson?
Jackson.
Would you rather have guy on the Lions that you just mentioned? Marvin Jones?
Golden Tate? I'd rather have Golden Tate.
Marvin Jones.
I think those two are right about in the same range. I'd probably rather have Jones, but you don't have to make that choice because Jackson's going a lot later than Jones is.
How about some of the rookies, like Michael Thomas or Vincent Jackson?
I would rather have Jackson in a redraft league for sure.
You'd rather have Vincent Jackson? Okay. Corey Coleman?
Yeah. I think that's really close. I'd probably lean Jackson.
Antonio Gates is the last guy you wanted to talk about, and Gates is on your in your column. You can read it on cbssports.com/fantasy. Yeah, he only played 11 games last year, was suspended for the first four. 36 years old, Gates was the number 11 tight end in standard, number 12 in PPR in only 11 games. If he had gotten his production over 16 games, he would have been a top 7 tight end. Not sure we can expect him to play 16 games. But unexciting player, but maybe, what, solid, dependable, or is this the year we finally see the age factor into Antonio Gates' production?
It very well might be the year that we finally see the age factor in, but I am done betting against Antonio Gates because I've bet against him the last 2 years, and he just keeps outperforming our expectations. The thing is, Phillip Rivers loves him to death. Phillip Rivers throws him the ball in the red zone. Gates, if he's healthy, is going to score touchdowns because he doesn't need speed to get open. He just has to be able to run 10 yards, turn, and use his body to catch the ball.
Yeah. This conversation about Antonio Gates is always, to me, just feels like an argument for Rob Gronkowski. Because it's just like, do I really want this at tight end? Sure. Is he going to fall into the top 12? Yeah, if he stays healthy enough, okay, maybe.
He didn't have to stay healthy. He did it in 11 games last year.
I know, but even still. Right. His production. Did anybody who owned Antonio Gates feel like they had a great player? And he was on pace to be the 7th best tight end in fantasy. Again, right. It always feels to me like an argument for Rob Gronkowski when you're talking about this expected mediocrity at the bottom of the tight end rankings in the top 12.
Well, the thing is, Antonio Gates is being drafted at the end of the 10th round as the 13th tight end off the board.
Yeah.
So you're not getting anything but mediocrity in the end of the 10th round for no matter what position you're drafting. Stockpile on really good players at other positions because there's only a couple of really good players at the tight end position.
But Gates is a guy that has almost zero chance of having a huge season. He could do it for the first four games or so, which he's done in the past.
I think he will be pretty huge when he's healthy.
Ugh. See, I don't think he'll be huge. I think he'll be solid. I think he'll probably have like a 2 or 3 touchdown game. That'd be amazing. And then he'll have, he'll average probably like 7 points their other games in standard.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
But how many tight ends are amazing? You know, it's a lot to ask. It's not a very productive position.
Probably 3.
But would you rather take Julius Thomas or Antonio Gates?
I'd rather take Gates. I feel more confident that Gates is going to score touchdowns. I feel more confident that Gates is going to get consistent targets. And I don't really care if he misses 4 or 5 games, because at this position, there's 10 other guys that you can stream on a weekly basis.
Yeah, but Thomas has a better quarterback than Gates.
It's not even close. It's not even kind of close.
Also, you said something pretty silly earlier. You said that Carson Palmer's number 1 wide receiver is not a top 10 wide receiver, but I'm pretty sure I told you last week that his number 1 wide receiver, Michael Floyd, is in fact a top 10 wide receiver.
Michael Floyd's actually his number three wide receiver, but I understand.
If you think that's the case, then I can't wait for like October when we realize how amazing Michael Floyd is. He's your highest ranked.
Is that when Floyd's finally going to play his first game after getting hurt in training camp?
Who? Floyd?
Is that when Floyd's finally going to play his first game October?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. You have Floyd as your highest ranked Cardinals receiver, don't you?
No, unless there's some type of mess up in the rankings. I have John Brown 19th, Larry Fitzgerald 22nd, and Michael Floyd 23rd.
I just don't. Are you trying to be wrong about that? Is that like? Did you lose a bet?
What do you mean?
just doesn't make any sense.
I don't understand.
I don't either. I'm just befuddled. I don't get it.
And in PPR, I think I have Fitzgerald number one of the three because he'll get the most targets.
Okay. I'm really excited about this. I'm so excited to be right about Michael Floyd. I feel so good about it.
I have not heard you this excited since CJ Spiller.
And Rashad Jennings a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
No, they pale in comparison to Michael Floyd. Cause I know Floyd is a good player. Like Spiller, I was kind of clinging to
him. Well, Spiller done a heck of a lot more than Michael Floyd has when you were excited about him. Spiller
See,
had
I don't
like
agree. I think Michael Floyd did a lot last year.
CJ Spiller had the top seven season at the running back position.
Hey, you don't have to tell me. I was the one who liked him.
Now, I think it was before Michael Floyd's in the league, but still.
Well, this was fun. Now let's read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. All right. Tom from the Minneapolis, the one and only, says, I hear you guys constantly talk about drafting at good value. What does that mean? Getting a player five spots after average draft position, six spots, seven spots. Heath, what is good value?
Good value is partially determined by ADP, but for me, more it's getting a guy that far below where I have him ranked. Because the best thing you can have happen is when I think a guy is better than his ADP, and in this particular draft, he falls behind his ADP.
Maybe
I'm talking about good value, it has more to do with the production that I expect and less to do with where they normally get drafted.
Yeah, but maybe it's also where they're going in relation to other players at their position,
right?
That you have ranked behind them. You know, like I got
right. Yeah, like if some dork takes Michael Floyd in the third round and then I get John Brown in the fifth, that's good value.
There's a good chance that dork never leaves his apartment and spends a lot of time studying fantasy football. And when they come out with the Nintendo, with the old school Nintendo, like forget it. That's it for the social life. Any hope that I had of having a social life is gone once I get that Nintendo. The second part of the question from Tom was, what should I expect for fantasy points from a player per round? Round one player should get X points, round two, and so on and so forth. And I just don't even think there's an answer to this, Tom. So it's really more by position because, you know, a quarterback you take in round eight is still going to score more than a running back you take in round one, right?
Yeah. I don't – that's – I know what Tom's trying to ask here, but I don't think there's an answer to it.
Yeah, I would agree. All right. Kevin says, dear – by the way, if you want to give cities, you know, since Dave's not here – you can tell
right, well, Tom gave his city. He was from Minneapolis.
Yeah, but Kevin didn't.
Omaha.
Kevin's from Omaha. You said that because I'm going to that Counting Crows concert soon.
Yes.
That's probably my favorite Counting Crows song.
There you go.
Yeah. Do you know that song? You don't know anything about music, so do you know Counting Crows
Did
Omaha?
Did you know that I once wrote a song called Omaha and recorded the track? I have it in my email.
What?
My brother worked for several years in Chicago as a music producer.
Is that right?
And we recorded two or three different songs. They were awful. I would never let you hear them.
Will you please share
never,
them with...
never let you hear them.
No, come on. Share them with the audience.
Yeah, probably not going to happen.
All right, listen. If Michael Floyd is a top eight wide receiver this year in standard scoring leagues, you have to play one of the songs on the on
That's
the
fair. That's fair.
Okay, good. Appreciate that. All right, Kevin from Omaha says, dear Fee, Fi, Fo, and Fum, I am the commish of my league, and last season we ran into a problem. Now, you have to pay attention here. I already read this email. It's somewhat confusing. We were going to start a keeper league, but then half the league, 6 out of 12, decided that the $20 buy-in was too high, so they're out. $20 buy-in? Come on, guys. That's an aside. Anyway, as the commish, I asked the remaining league mates, do you guys want to do keepers with the new people or redraft and start keepers this season? The majority chose redraft, to be fair. We always vote majority rules. I now have two members attacking me and my character because we're not keeping from last year, but this year instead. Am I wrong for sticking with how things are always done, or should I loosen the reins a little and allow those two to keep their guys? P.S. If anyone should be mad, it should be me. I had Todd Gurley in the 12th round last year and picked up David Johnson from waivers, and that's a 15th round pick, but I trust my ability to win again, seeing that I'm the reigning champ.
Never, ever, ever give in to jerks attacking you and your character. Ever.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't even care if they're right. Once you start attacking me, no chance.
Yeah, and they're not right, okay? Because you guys voted, majority rules. Tough noogies for those two. You are doing a keeper league.
What I would do is go to the homepage of the league and write an article talking about how petty the two guys are that keep complaining and make fun of them for things that you know about them in the past.
Wow. And I'm the one who has no real friends. Cody from a city in Arizona, Heath.
Scott Steele.
Dear some combination of Dave, Heath, Jamie, and Adam, I have been doing multiple, he says podcasts per day, but I think he means drafts per day.
Multiple draft podcasts, the kind of rhyme.
Yeah. Multiple drafts per day on Fantasy Pros, and I just wanted to know if having two flex spots, wide receiver or running back, changes your strategy at all. It seems that quarterbacks are pushed down even further on those mocks, so I was just wondering if your approach would change half-point PPR with two flexes, and it doesn't seem like tight ends can be flexes, so wide receiver or running back.
Yeah, I'm going with a lot of wide receivers. I'd really like to get one running back in the first two rounds and then just load up on wide receivers. And I do think quarterbacks should get pushed down even further. It's pretty rare, and it does happen sometimes, but it's pretty rare that I take a quarterback before I've filled out the rest of my starting spots, at least my running back and wide receiver spots.
Really? I feel like if Russell Wilson or Andrew Luck is sitting there in round four, you'll take him.
No. I will take Cam or Rodgers around that 3-4 turn if they make it that far. But other than that, no thank you.
And this is maybe in this format with the extra flex, I agree with you. But if it's just like a standard two running back, two receiver, one flex league, this is probably where I disagree with you, Dave and Jamie. And I feel like Dave might be sort of on my side. I kind of think you guys take the weight on quarterback a little bit too far at some point.
Listen, your approach is great if one of those guys you take in the mid rounds turns out to be a top three or four quarterback.
Yeah.
It will work. But the odds are that those guys are going to be within like 10 points of the guy that I take in the ninth round.
No, I don't agree with that at all. So you're saying
that's because
that
you're confident in your ability to select which of the middling quarterbacks will be great.
You're saying that I take Andrew Luck in round four. You take who in round nine? Romo?
Ryan or Dalton.
You think that Luck is going to be within 10 points of those guys?
I think there's a range of possibilities with Andrew Luck.
Yeah, but there's a range of possibilities with every single player in the draft, especially any running back or wide receiver that you're taking in round four. I mean, well, like, you might get Carlos Hyde falling to you there or something like that, or you're taking, you're not even going to be able to take Kelvin Benjamin. You're looking at Randall Cobb, something
John
like
Brown.
Who is safer than Andrew Luck at that point?
Well, Andrew Luck wasn't very safe last year.
Yeah, and neither was Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But I still think Aaron Rodgers is one of the safest players in fantasy. It's football. It's sports. Nobody is completely safe. You know, I think Andrew Luck is safer in round four than any quarterback, any wide receiver or running back you could possibly take in that same round.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
And I also think it's a pretty safe bet he's going to be more than 10 fantasy points better than the quarterback you take in the ninth round.
I mean, he was on last year, what, about a 32 touchdown pace, about 3,800 yards?
I almost don't care about last year. He wasn't healthy.
But of the 4 years of his career, you only care about 2014.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Because look at his career. I'm not going to care about his rookie year. Is that fair?
Okay.
Second year, he had a good year. Statistically,
right,
he completed over 60% of his passes. This was his second year.
Right.
Third year, he blew up. The guy was the number one pick in the draft. The guy was the best prospect since Peyton Manning. It made sense. He got good weapons around him. It made sense. That's the year I care about. That's the Andrew Luck that I believe in.
Okay.
I'm Adam Azer, and I approve this message.
You should draft Andrew Luck in the fourth round if that's the way you feel about him every time.
I would take him every single time in the fourth round. Unless
that confidently that he was number three, then I would probably take him in the fourth too.
If it were PPR, especially if it were PPR with three receivers, then I probably wouldn't. But if we're talking like two receivers, two running backs, and a flex, definitely take Luck in the fourth round in standard, and quite possibly in PPR as well. Right. Next up, we've got, I don't get this one, Jovi's dad.
Jovi's dad, yes.
What is that, Heath?
From, where is Jovi's dad from? Springfield.
What is Jovi's dad? What is it?
It's Jovi's dad. Jovi is a kid. And this is Jovi's dad.
Okay. Who's Jovi?
I don't know.
All right. He says, dear car, Chevy, and what's in your wallet? I'm so confused by this whole email. So Jovi's dad is in quite the predicament. 12-team standard scoring keeper league where we can keep three players in the same round as drafted the year before. I know I'm keeping Allen Robinson in the 9th and David Johnson in the 10th. So Robinson in the 9th and David Johnson in the 10th. Who is his third keeper, Heath? Adrian Peterson with the 12th overall pick, so round 1, or Tyler Eifert in the 15th round?
I think in a league where you've got three keepers for every team, I'd probably keep Adrian Peterson with the 12th overall pick. Just because the herd is going to be cold so thin.
Right. The herd is going to be cold so thin.
Yes.
I don't know if that's what you were trying to say.
Have you ever heard the term cull the herd? C-U-L-L.
Cold. Oh, okay.
Right.
Oh, so you were trying to say that. All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. You and Jovi's dad know what you're talking about. Anthony writes in, where is Anthony from, Heath?
I believe Little Rock.
Now, I think I know his greeting. And if I'm right about it, I'm going to feel like such a G. But I might not be right about it. He says, dear Michael, Sam, Edgar, and Alan.
Michael, Sam, Edgar, and Allen.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting. You got Michael, Sam. You got Edgar Allen there. But no, I was right. I knew it. It's the Lost Boys. You ever see Lost Boys?
Yes.
This is Lost Boys. This is the Frog Brothers, Edgar and Allen, I believe. And Michael and Sam are Jason Patrick and Corey whatever. I think that's Corey Haim. Yeah. And then one of them's Corey Feldman and some other guy. Love that movie. Great vampire movie. I can keep up the three players. I will give you a list of players I'm considering, along with the round that I will give up for them. Okay, so pick three.
This is a very, like, he spells it out here. Anthony doesn't.
I know. I know.
You didn't even read the last sentence. I would like to know what you would do in my situation.
Gurley in round 5, Luck round 9, Newton round 10, Hearns round 13, Jonathan Stewart, round 4.
Gurley, Newton, and Hearns.
Yeah. Love it. I would consider, this is almost for the sake of having an interesting conversation on the podcast, because I probably wouldn't do this, but I would consider taking Gurley, Newton, and Luck and trading one of those quarterbacks for someone better than Allen Hearns.
I had a buddy that did something similar in our home league, and he was one of the more disagreeable members of the league, not named Heath. And he thought quarterbacks were falling too far. And so he took two quarterbacks in the first three rounds and then kind of smugly said, you guys will, by the time this draft's over, you guys will be overpaying me for this guy. And so we just kind of all made a deal that no one was going to trade with him for the rest of the year. And he had those two quarterbacks on his roster. So I wouldn't do that unless you're more likable than he was.
Well, I think I am. Also, I'm not in any leagues. Well, I will be in many leagues with you, but I won't let you do
right.
that to me. No, but it's not two in the first three rounds. I wouldn't do that. But it's rounds 9 and 10 for Luck and Palmer, Luck and Newton,
I understand
rather.
It. I would want to work out some type of trade if I was going to do that. And I think you can do that,
like a before the draft even happens trade.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one, Dave from Phoenix. Dear Chris, Randy, and Jake, those feel like wrestlers to me. Oh no, Randy Moss, Chris Carter, and Jake Reed. Those could be wrestlers, right?
Well, there are definitely wrestlers named Chris, Randy, and Jake.
Yeah. But like famous wrestlers.
Chris Benoit, Jake the Snake, Randy Orton.
Randy Savage.
Randy Savage, the Macho Man.
Yeah, exactly. Keep one of two. Now, this is probably pretty easy, but I'll read it anyway. Doriel Green Beckham for $11. Or, it's not easy. Doriel Green Beckham for $11 or Latavius Murray for $12.
I am tired of everyone slandering Latavius Murray's good name.
No, it's okay. The reason why this is tough for him is because he thinks that over a 5-year period, Green Beckham will outproduce Latavius Murray. And one's a wide receiver and one's a running back. So I get the predicament.
Here's the thing, and maybe I'm not sophisticated enough when it comes to Dynasty and Keeper Leagues, but I don't think that I can predict what's going to happen 5 years from now.
No, but
I generally try to look at about a 3-year window, and that's kind of dicey, and I feel pretty confident Latavius Murray is going to be better over the next 3 years than Doriel Green Beckham.
Okay, so it's an easy call for you?
It is an easy call for me, especially since he's already keeping two other wide receivers. He's got a great set of keepers.
Great. He's got a great set, this guy. His keepers are David Johnson, Mike Evans, and Allen Robinson. You know who I really have come around on?
Me.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't used to like me at the beginning of the podcast.
At the beginning of the podcast.
I'm coming around on me.
Mike Evans. I had this thing where I was like, and this is true. Mike Evans is unbelievable when Vincent Jackson doesn't play. And not that, he's fine when Vincent Jackson does play. And that kind of held me back on Mike Evans. But now I'm just like, I don't care about that. I think this is his year. He just goes crazy. Go Mike Evans.
I hope you're right. Because I like him a lot.
All right, I'm ready to end the show.
Okay, you did a really nice job.
Omaha, somewhere in the middle of America. Is your Omaha better than that one?
Slightly.
Okay. That's Heath Cummings. I'm Adam Azer. We got more episodes for you coming later this week. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Send us your emails. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.